Good to see everyone out. It's a beautiful day outside and excited to be in the house of the Lord and excited to see everybody here. As far as prayer request goes, of course, as most of you know, Miss Maudy passed away. I actually remember the family, Keith and his family, as it's all too familiar to me of what they're going through. And so I ask you to be with them and pray that God comforts them as only He can. And I know the church family's been real good to them, and I saw they had plenty of food, and so I thank you for that. And also remember many others. I can't even start to give all the names of prayer requests we had in Sunday school. There's a lot that's sick at this time and standing in need of our prayers, and a lot of families affected all around our community. And so just ask that you pray for them. Pray that God's healing come on those that need healing, the comfort come those that stand in need of it. Do we have any prayer requests that I'm not aware of this morning? Anybody needs, you know of? Yes. Any others? Wow. Remember that. Any others? As far as a praise report goes, we had asked prayer for Mr. Lucilla Grizzard from, she's from Ramburn, but she's in every Sunday morning. If you go to Jack, she's there. She goes to a church in Anniston or Oxford. And we've got to know her from Jack's, really. And she had been going through breast cancer, and she told me this morning that she's got a clear report. And then everything went great. Wasn't no pain in her surgery. The treatments just went good. And she was real upbeat this morning. So thank God for that. And praise Him this morning for what He's done. Any others? Not? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Again, You give us, God, another chance of life. Lord, we ask You to be with us in this church service this morning, God, as we come to worship You in spirit and in truth. And God, we ask that You touch every heart, that You get everything off our hearts and minds for just this time, God, and that we would focus on You, and worshiping You would be our main concern at this place. Lord, we've heard the prayer request this morning. Father, we know Your will is perfect, and God, we pray for Your will to be done. God, we don't understand it, but we pray that that's what happens. And God, we ask You to be with our church and be with our church family, God, those that has lost loved ones. We ask You to comfort them as only You can comfort. God, we not a word we can say that makes a hurt go away, but just let us be available to them. Let us be there and know that we care about them. God, we ask You today as our singers come to sing that You touch their voices. Let them sing praises unto You and that they'll be here for no other reason. God, as it comes preaching hour, I pray that You touch my lips, touch my mind, give me the words to say. God, that we would, through Your message, that some heart would be drawn to You. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on You. Cast my cares on you. Cast my
Morning again. Good to see everybody out one more time. Of course, we wasn't here last Sunday. Brother Terry filled in for me, done a great job, as I've heard. I appreciate him doing that for us as we was up in Tennessee with Kanye West. And I thought it was just me, but it had been going an hour before I even knew who he was. You couldn't even tell he was there. I was very impressed. I've told people all week of how impressed I was with him not being the center of attention. And I was expecting him to come out of the ceiling with spotlights on him. But I believe God has changed his heart from hearing him and hearing others that's been around him. And you know, we tend to pray for that, and then when God changes one, we'll say, well, that ain't real. He's there for the money, but this man don't need the money. But he's there for this or that. But truly believe God's changed him. That's between him and God to start with. All I see is evidence of what's been done, and we should praise God for it. He's got a huge platform He can touch people and young people, and there's even older people that would never probably have come to something like that had he not been there. So thank God for what he's done in his life. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter number 8. Back to focusing on our upcoming year and upcoming time, I begin thinking about ourselves as individuals. That's what we have to focus on, is each other. And I begin thinking about something, and the title of this sermon is "At the Heart of Our Problem is Our Heart." At the very center of our problem is our heart. At the problem with everything that man is his heart. We have a heart problem. Now, we know that the heart of man is not the organ that supplies blood, although that is a heart. But what this is talking about is our very being. What makes us up, who is what we are, is our heart. The very center of us, the very being is there. And the problem is we have a heart condition. It's sinful. It must be made new. It's no good. So we have to come to God for that heart to be made complete. I began thinking of some problems that we have. We're going to preach about some of those problems today, and we could preach for weeks and months and years just about my problems. But we all have some problems that stems from the main problem, which is our heart. In 1 Kings chapter number 8, starting in verse 55 through 62, and I put 5 up there, so that's my fault. If you don't want to read all that, we'll be here a while. But this is that King Solomon has built the house of God, built the temple. And this is after he's done praying, he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that he might incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all of his ways, and keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these words, wherewith I have made supplication for the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, and the cause of his people Israel, at all times, as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and there is none else." I want you to listen to this verse right here. "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Father, again, we thank you for this word. God, we thank you for the people that's come out today. God, we ask you to touch our voice. God, touch our bodies as we preach. And Lord, open hearts and minds that they may receive your word. Not the words I say, God, but the words of you. Let it resonate in hearts and minds. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I began thinking about some of the problems that I have, and I think that some of the problems that we all have is comes from our heart. I know all of them does, but today we're just going to mention about 3 of them. And I think the first one comes from indecision. We cannot make a decision. If you don't believe that, you get in my truck or my car, and you go to eat, and guess what you have? You say, "Where do you want to eat?" What does everybody say? "It don't matter. It don't matter." And then when you pull into McDonald's, you got everybody mad at you. Or you pull into a restaurant, they all mad. And if they're like my kids, they pout and they won't eat. And then when you leave, they expect you to stop by somewhere else and get them something. We cannot make a decision. And that indecision comes from the hearts we have. We just cannot decide anything. Joshua chapter 24:15, listen what it says about decisions. "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve." So he says, look, make a decision. Decide what you're going to do. And listen, in 2020, it's time, church, that we make a decision. Are you going to serve the gods that was on the other side? Or are you going to serve the one true God of Israel? He says, choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua is saying right here, church, it's time to decide who you're going to serve. If you don't want to serve Jesus, that's fine. Just don't do it. But if you're going to serve him, bless God, let's do it and go forward and stop playing with this thing and stop being undecided, and let's go forward and serve him. You see, I think that's one of the biggest problems that churches have is we're made up of people who have heart problems, amen? And then from that heart problem comes indecision. We cannot make a decision. Now, we're pretty good at deciding on color of carpet. We're pretty good at deciding on what we're going to sing. We're pretty good deciding on all these things, but the decision I'm talking about is, are we going to follow God in 2020? Are we going to follow Him? Are we going to do what we've always done and what our fathers have done and all these things? Are we going to make up our mind that we're going to serve the Lord and Him only, and are we going forward? You see, as long as you're in the valley of indecision, you know what you'll do? You'll be back and forth. You'll never decide to go forward. You will stay there as the children of Israel did. They was in that land and they wandered for 40 years because they could not make a decision to follow God. And there's some problems that come. Some more problems that come from indecision. We could just not choose. The reason we can't choose, the reason we're undecided, he tells us in verse 61, he says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. The problem that why we have the indecision is our hearts is not perfect. You say, wait a minute. No man can be perfect. That word perfect, if you look it at, the meaning of it is complete. So it says, let your hearts be complete with God. And listen, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Who is one of you servant Christ that always laboring for it? I put down the wrong thing, undoubtedly, because that ain't what I'm supposed to say. But listen, this tells us that our heart... If our heart is right, and our heart is only made right through Jesus, and our heart is only made complete through God. And the verse that I was warning that I pinned down wrong, it says that He completes you. You are completing Him. There is nothing else that can make a man complete but Jesus Christ. And until your heart is settled, until your heart is complete with Him, you will be a double-minded man. You will not make a decision. You will not decide to go forward. You will stay at the same place you've stayed for 30 or 40 years. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. You realize this, we have people even inside this building that have been saved for a long time. And bless God, spiritually speaking, they are at the same place they was that day. Matter of fact, they probably went back a little bit, but they have went forward absolutely zero because they have not decided to go forward with God. Why? Why can't you decide? It tells in James chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's wishy-washy. He's back and forth. He is not stable. He is not going forward. He is not doing anything. He is unstable. I think the problem we have in our indecisions, we cannot decide. We cannot decide what to do. We can't decide where we want to go with God, what we want to do with God, if we want to listen to God and all of this. And listen, every bit of this stems from one problem with our heart, which is unbelief. Unbelief. You know the reason that men, women, boys and girls cannot go forward with God? Because we do not trust. Well, we do not believe He knows the way. You say, you might say you do. You may say how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. But my friend, if you trust in Jesus, guess what you're doing? You are following Him. You decided that no matter what happens in life, you're going with God. But here we are, because of unbelief. Our heart not being perfect, we are back and forth. We're hot one day, we're cold the next. If you trust something, you have no problem following. You see, I tend to fully give my trust to a GPS. As we're going up to somewhere and following somewhere, it'll say, turn here. I'll say, no, I think I know a better way. I don't think that thing knows what it's talking about. I ain't turning down no dirt road. I'll go this way. And then if I go down that dirt road, it might save me 5 minutes. I might get where I want to go, but I have a trust issue. You see, that's what we have with God. We don't trust Him. We don't believe He can do what He says He can do. We see in the Bible there where the centurion come to Him and prayed for his daughter. And he said, hey, she's been made whole. He said, God, forgive my unbelief. And listen, he had enough faith that that child was healed, but still he prayed to Jesus to help his unbelief. Today we believe because we're here. If we didn't believe Jesus who He said He was, I don't believe we'd be in this place. But we still struggle with unbelief. And we cannot get over this problem until the problem gets solved, which is the heart. And the heart can't get better until it's made complete in Jesus Christ. There's no way. So the first problem we have comes from unbelief, which is an undecided heart. It cannot go anywhere. Have y'all ever worked for somebody that couldn't make a decision? It's the worst situation to be in the world. They cannot make a decision. Well, what do you want to do here? Well, I don't know. They talk all the time about football players. A great football player, what's one of the attributes he's got? He's a great decision maker. He can make decisions quickly.
It's the same thing in all types of leadership. If you're going to be a great leader, you got to be able to make a decision. Now, there's a problem with decisions. Somebody ain't going to like it. No matter what you do, you're going to make the wrong decision. Up to somebody. But now listen, this decision I'm talking about today cannot be critiqued. It cannot be said you're wrong. The only way it can be said you're wrong is you don't choose to follow God. If you choose today and decide and make up your mind that you're going to follow Jesus, no matter where he takes you, then guess what? You're on the road to a perfect heart. So indecision is one of our problems. Another problem we have that comes from our heart is we're undiscipled. Undiscipled. This is something that is missing. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. What did it say to become a disciple you had to do? Continue in my word. You see, church, we drop the ball here miserably. We'll get people saved. We'll tell people about the Lord. We'll get them into our church, these young ones. We'll preach to them the gospel. We'll teach them the word of God. And then when they become saved, we put them over here on the side and we never even disciple them anymore. That word disciple means teacher. Means learner. Means we learn. We are taught. We must stay in the word of God if you're going to have a perfect heart. You must stay in the word of God. You cannot read it today and skip it tomorrow and not look at it again to Sunday. If you're going to have a perfect heart, if you're going to be a Christian who makes their mind up, they're going to serve the Lord no matter what comes, then brother, you cannot do it unless you're in the word of God. Impossible to do it outside the word of God. You say our own heart will deceive us. The Bible says that every man's right in his own ways. You ask anybody, they got a way they want to do something. And it says that all of them think they're right. But our ways ends in death. And God's ways ends in forever having righteousness through Jesus Christ. And my friend, to do that and to keep in that, you must constantly be discipled. You must be learning in the Word of God. Now the problem I have with it, I can read the Word of God daily. I can study the Word of God daily. But this next one is where I fail. It tells us something in James chapter 1, verse 22. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Be doers of the word. I believe this is what it's talking about, why you must be discipled. If you're not discipled, you don't know how to do it. If you're not told how to do it, then you don't know how to do it. But once we know how to do it, we must become not only hearers, but doers of the word. And listen, and I am the king of this. I can preach about it, I can talk about it, I can study about it, but when it comes to putting it into practice, I am weak. It don't do you any good just to hear it. You must put it into action. It tells that faith without action is dead. There's nothing there. Faith without works is dead. We're not saved by works. We save because we save through faith, and then we work because we're saved. We must continue in the Word of God. If I was to ask you today, or have you grown as a Christian? Have you went forward with Jesus Christ? In 2020, do you want to go further with Jesus Christ? Or are you satisfied being right where you are? Then I hope most of you raise a hand and say, I want to go forward. I want to become more than I am now. I want to be better. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to be what God's called me to be. If so, you cannot do it. Number one, unless you read the Word of God. You interpret, you get the Word of God preached to you, you learn the Word of God, and then you must take some action and put it into practice. You get directions with everything you buy. You buy a TV, you get directions. You buy a swing set, you get directions. You buy an entertainment center, you get directions. They're not a bit of good unless you put them into action. That thing will never be put together. It'll sit in the box like it is until you put something into action. In church, that's the way our spiritual lives are. I can preach about it all day. You can read about it all day. But until you decide to put it into action, you're going to sit the same place in 2020 you did in 2019. Dead still. Not going forward. We have a problem with our heart. We're undiscipled. We're undiscipled. Matthew 28. Verse 18 through 20, we know this by heart. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore. Now what does he say? Go ye. He don't say and just tell. He don't say go through and preach. He says, go therefore and teach. Teach all nations. Disciple all nations. Don't just tell them about me. Show them how it's done. Show them how to live the Christian life. Go and teach all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things. Wheresoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Great Commission. Boy, it's action-based, isn't it? Go. Go, and he does something. As you go, don't just tell them. Don't just do that. Teach them the Word of God. And not just teach them the Word of God in words. Teach them in action. Teach them how to be God-fearing young men and women and disciple these young ones that they may become the followers of God that he deserves. Teach them. Do you notice something about that? It says all power has been given. You've got every bit of the power you need to do this. You say, well, I cannot do that. Well, it says you've been given all power through Jesus Christ. All power has been given to me, he says. All the power. And if he tells you to do it, he supplied all the power, then guess what, friend? You have no excuse. The only excuse you have is you haven't decided that you're going to do it because you have a heart problem. Teach all nations. You've been given all power. Teach them, not just reach them. The word disciple means teacher or learner. When is the last time? Let me ask you this. When's the last time you taught somebody about Jesus Christ? Many of you do it every week. But when's the last time that a lot of you taught somebody, not just in word, but in your actions, in the way you treated them, that you showed them the Word of God? That you lived it out in front of them to the whole world, not just your friends, but those that may be enemies also. When was the last time that you truly discipled somebody? Think about that. Now, he's teaching this to all people. Go to all people. All of you go do the same thing, not just these disciples, not just the apostles, not just this group. All people who believe in me, this is your great commission. Teach all of them. It's a problem we have with our heart, undiscipled. Many of us who enjoy our hobbies, we'll study about it all day long. We'll want to know how to do it better. Golf is your thing, you want to know how to play golf better. If football is your thing, you want to know how to become better. If fishing's your thing, you want to become a better fisherman. We'll read about it, we'll study about it. But listen, so many people, you talk to them about getting in the Word of God, you know what they'll say? This is number one. I can't understand it. I can't understand it. Listen, you may not understand the these and thous, and I don't have a problem with that. But when this was written, it was on a fifth grade level. A fifth grade level. It's not hard to understand, but it cannot be understood in your own power. It must be understood through the Holy Spirit of God. That's the problem people have. They're not many of them trying to understand this thing. They're spiritually dead. They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them to interpret this to them. And there lies the problem, a heart problem. Remember what I said when I started this? Every problem, the heart is at the heart of it. It stems from the very heart, and it roams for problem after problem after problem. So we undecided. We undiscipled. And boy, this other one, if we could get this right, we're just plain undetermined. Now, you get a people that's determined to do something, you cannot stop them. You get a people make their mind up, they're going to go forward, you cannot stop them. People can become powerful. You get a group together, decides they're going to go forth, and as they gain numbers, they get strong. You get somebody determined in their weight loss or they're getting better at something, then they're going to get better. They're going to train. They're going to put effort into it. They're just determined to do this thing. Church, if we could get our people, even as small as we are, if I could get our people determined in their heart to reach the world for God, there's no telling what we could do. Amen. Determined. You know what that word determined means? Brother, it means that you're going to go no matter what happens, nothing's going to stop you. You're going to put all your power into it. You're going to put all your talents into it. You're going to put all your efforts into it. Brother, you are determined for that to happen. There's no turning back a determined person. No turning back. Listen to Hebrews. We got some examples to follow. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. To fully understand that, you need to take some time and go back to verse 11, or chapter 11, and you need to read about these great cloud of witnesses we have. Oh, there's some great ones. There's Moses mentioned in there. There are all kind of witnesses we've been given. You know the one thing that those men, women had in common? Brother, every one of them was determined. Noah was determined to build that boat because God told him. David was determined to slay a giant because he trusted God. Every single one of them had determination because it come out of a right heart with God. Determination. Bless God, you can't get anybody motivated to do anything now for God because we got all these other things taking our times up. You can say what you want to, and I'm guilty as you are, but that's what it is. And we're so worried about our comforts. We're so worried about all these things and all the things I enjoy. I'll do the things of God when I have time. And guess what? You ain't going to have time. And you say, I'll give to God when I have extra money. Guess what? You're not going to have extra money. I'll do this when I've got a little bit left over. My friend, God don't want that. God wants a determined person who's on board with Him. But we'll wait around. I'll do it when I have time. Oh, good intentions. Determined. You know what motivated their determination? What powered it? Faith. It's all about faith. If I have faith that God is who He says He is, I should be determined to tell a lost world about Jesus. If I got the faith that God will be with me ever so where He sends me, I ought to be determined to go where it is that God has for me to go. Kim gave her devotion this morning. Boy, that was a scary devotion. I don't know how much y'all listened to it. But it said, are you willing to go through whatever God takes you through to get where He wants you to be? And if I had to answer that question, honestly, I'd say no. You may be more righteous than I am. But if you answer that question honestly, you would probably say no. You see, we want to skip things. We want to be where God wants us to be spiritually, but we want to get there by pushing a button and ended up not going through no suffering. If it takes going through this problem, this suffering of this time to get there, do you honestly want to go through it? If you had to go through what Job went through to get to where Job was to end, would you want to go through that? Would you want to lose your family? Would you want to lose your money? Would you want to lose your health? Would you want to lose all those things to get to where God wants you to be? And the answer to that, if you was honest and you wasn't trying to be righteous, would be, no, I don't. And God knows your heart. We want to be there, but we don't want the suffering. And that's human. And that's natural. And I'm right there with you. But church, we must be determined. Must be determined. Must not be double-minded. A double-minded man cannot do anything. But you find one that's determined. You find one that's got his mind to do what it is that God has called him to do. There's no stopping him. He's been given all power. This faith that these people had. Chapter number 11 of Hebrews is called the Heroes of Faith. The Hall of Faith. It's called many different things of faith. One thing about it. Them wasn't any people that was double-minded. I think about the apostles and disciples of that day. The ones we think about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all those, man, of the deaths they died. Determined people. Determined to get the word of God out. The first church, the problems she went through, determined to last. Now, the church all through centuries has been determined. Or it wouldn't still be here. Because it was made up of one or two people that was determined for this thing to tend to go. Hey, as the Bible was getting translated into English, there was people who was burnt at the stake. There was people who was murdered for this thing. They was determined in their life. Me and you are living in a time in society when people are determined for nothing. No determination. No decision making. No discipling. We want to get up and preach about what God can do, and then we want to blow out those doors, come back Sunday morning, and boom, we're all better. We don't want to go through any suffering. We don't go through any study. We don't go through any trials, any heartache. And listen, that's just not the way God does things. You've got a heart problem. Every one of us has got a heart problem. It cannot be made right, but only through Jesus Christ. You realize something? We each one have a duty. We have a responsibility that God designed you for. God designed you for it. I was thinking about our cancer ministry this morning. It was on my mind. We started this cancer ministry. We called it the Journey of Hope. Two people that's real close to us didn't survive. My mother being one. I think about it. Still don't seem real to me. Still find times I want to pick up the phone and call her. Still can't get it in my heart. She's gone. There's two things we can do. We can be determined to go forward with a journey of hope. Or we can look at the circumstances and let it bring you down and decide, well, two of them that we had on our minds when we started this thing, two of them that was near and dear to us, they've lost the battle. And by the way, may I tell you, they haven't lost the battle. They're in a much better place than we are. Haven't lost the battle. The battle, the Bible says, is not theirs, it's God's. Has God ever lost anything? No, and he never will. Determination. Churches have been great at starting programs. I've been part of them. Start a program, you know what you hardly ever see a church do? It's finish one. You see them start a bunch of things. See them start a bunch of studies. I am guilty, y'all know that. If all these things come up, what do? It falls by the wayside. We'll start great things. We don't. You know why? It's because we have a heart problem that comes from this thing called no determination. We're not determined for that thing to see through. This morning can be a changing point in our lives. Can be a changing point in your life. Have you ever been determined about something? I want you to stop and think just 1 minute. Something you've been determined about. Maybe it was a building you was building at home. Maybe it was a flower garden you was building. Maybe it was a job that you was determined to get. Maybe it was a car you was wanting or something. You just would not stop short of having that thing that meant something to you. You see where I'm getting now? The problem with our determination is it's not important to us what we're trying to gain. If it is, you couldn't stop us. Listen, church, we've been given all power over everything through Jesus Christ. There's not a thing can come against you that can prosper. That's a promise. There's nothing can separate you from the love of God. Neither height nor depth nor anything can take you away from the love of God. Does he matter? Does the reason you was made, the reason he created you, are you determined to see that thing through? Are you determined to finish well? Are you determined that no matter what comes, what suffering, whatever thing, you're going forward? We're not turning back. And by the way, may I tell you that anything that has to do with God that is going to be great never, never comes easy. You know what will happen? Those enemy you have, he'll know it's going to be great, and he'll throw every trap he can to get you to stop. That youth conference that we went to, people probably say a lot of things about who was there. I don't care about that. What matters, according to Scott Dawson, he don't know anybody's heart, and he said that. 1,500 decisions was made according to the people who said it. I don't know their heart. I don't know if God had led them. I don't know any of that. All I know is the number that he said. And according to what they told him and people that professed it, 1,500 people come to know Christ through that thing. And as he was telling about the 1,500, he said, I knew the harvest was going to be great because, brother, you wouldn't believe the problems that went into that conference. He even went on to say that for some reason they had 38,000 flowers around the stage. I don't see that being a big deal that had to be done, but that's what they wanted done. They decided they didn't have enough at the last minute at 2 o'clock in the morning, didn't have enough greenery to go in the flowers. Went out to a farmer's yard and cut down trees 2 o'clock in the morning in East Tennessee. Brought it back to Pigeon Forge. He said problem after problem arose with that conference. Probably never had one with as much problem, but guess what? He never had one with as much harvest either. This thing ain't going to come easy. You see, if we get up and preach a rosy message and fill the pews up and people are getting saved left and right, you know what we would do? You know what I would do? I would be walking around with my head so big it couldn't get out that door and thinking, man, am I the stuff? I can just speak a word and people come. How great I must be. But Terry, it's never happened. I've never been a Charles Stanley. I've never been a Franklin Graham or a Billy Graham where he preaches and 10,000 get saved. Wasn't God's will for me. Have saw very few, matter of fact. But you know what? If I get the determination in my heart to keep going, no matter what discouragement comes, no matter what problems come, then guess what? One day God's going to send a harvest. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You see, a little discouragement comes and we stop. A little bit of this comes and we think we know what we want to do, and God changes our plans and we give up. Determination stems from a heart problem, and every one of these goes back to the same word, unbelief. Unbelief. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're wanting to go to Los Angeles, California, you step on a 737 airplane built by men that can run out of gas, that can tear up, that can do all kinds of things. But when we walk on there and we step that foot on that plane, we have made a decision to go to Los Angeles. There is no backing out. And one of the scariest things is when he hits that throttle, brother, you said, this decision's made. There ain't no turning around. But we determine when we step on that thing that this thing is taking me to Los Angeles. We don't think about all the costs that could happen. Or I do. Y'all may not worry like me. I think of every noise that's crashing. Are we determined? You see, it all comes back to unbelief. Do you believe that God is who He said He is? Is your heart made perfect? That verse in Kings, let me read it again. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. Walk in His statutes and keep His commandments as at this day. The only way they could do that was their heart to be perfect with God. Their heart to be complete with God. This morning is the reason you can't be decided, the reason you can't be discipled, the reason you can't be determined. Is it because your heart is incomplete? Your heart is just not, something is just not there. There's just not, something is just not right. Maybe you have an incomplete heart. Maybe it's because something is wrong between you and God. You may be saved. You may have asked Him to forgive you of all of your sins. But are you guilty? Are you guilty of being at the same place today, spiritually speaking, you was when you come to know Christ? You've never went any further. You've never done what God's called you to do. He's gave you a duty. He's gave you a job. But because of this heart problem you have, you've stayed in one spot, determined not to go anywhere. I used to hear an old preacher said the Baptist theme song is, I shall not be moved. We hold that a lot, don't we? Church today, as everyone stands, we have a great problem. In 2020, I pray that we focus on this problem of our heart. If you hear one thing, hear this. You cannot have a good heart outside of Jesus Christ. And I told you time and time again, I'm guilty of saying, oh, I know so-and-so, he wasn't saved, but bless his soul, he had a good heart. No, he didn't. He had a corrupt heart. He had a heart of stone. The heart is no good until God comes in and remakes it. It's no good. Today, as the problems you have is because you have a heart issue. Boy, let me tell you when it comes up. My wife right now is at Carrollton or Tanner or Billerick or somewhere. She's probably doing a stress test. They put stress on your physical heart. And when stress is put on it, the problems show up, Terry. If there's a blockage, not getting enough blood, they can see it. The problem begins showing up. It's the same thing happens in our spiritual life. When stress comes upon us, then our heart problems begin showing up. These three things I preached about are just very few of what we face and the problems we have. We're at the last Sunday of January. It's time to stop talking about a new beginning, because we're already 1 month in. Fix me in our second month of 2020. The first month of 2021, I'm probably going to be preaching about the same things, trying to get people motivated, myself even, motivated and determined to go forward. We've made some good ideas the past year, but guess what? They haven't come to pass. My fault. I'm the leader and I take responsibility for it. But I need your determination. I need your desire. I need your resolve. We're going to have a leadership meeting at 4 o'clock. We're going to come up with some great ideas. But you know what? If we're not careful, they'll be just that. Set right there. Been on my heart since I've been in Heflin to reach men. When I think about reaching people, men's who comes to mind. It's because they're leader of the home. Yes, women need reaching, and that happens by reaching the men. I hope we determine this year to reach the men in our communities. Church, to reach those that can make a difference. Children need reaching, women need reaching, all this. But when you reach the man of the household, those come along with it. It's been proven. 93% of the families that the man is saved, the family winds up in church. Only about 10% of the family winds up in church if the woman gets saved. Only about 5% if the children get saved first. You must get daddy for churches to thrive and for communities to thrive. Can we be determined this year to turn that around here at our church? Can we be determined that we're going to reach people for Jesus Christ? That we're going to reach our community? We've had a lot of things that hinder us from our vision in 2019. Excuses is what they was. Good excuses, but still excuses. This year I pray that we're decided, we disciple, and we get determined about what God has for us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you've got an unperfect heart. You've got a heart that is no good, it's dead. If you put it on a meter, it wouldn't read anything. It's flat. But I got good news for you. There's a heart surgeon that's better than any you ever seen. Never makes an incision, but completely changes a heart. Takes out one made of stone and makes it flesh. This morning, will you come to him? If he's drawing you to himself this morning, will you say yes? Don't come for my words. Don't come for me. If God is drawing you through the Holy Spirit this morning, will you say yes to him? The heart is not going to be fixed till you do it. Enough church services won't do it. Enough Bible reading won't do it. Enough anything. You must come to him in faith to have that heart fixed. Will you come? You may have a heart that's been made right with God, but you just can't decide to do anything for him. You just cannot make a decision. You flop like a fish out of water. Will you get resolved this year that you're going forward for Jesus Christ? Not for New Harmony Church, not for the things where you can be anything put upon us, but will we determine to go forward as she plays?